This is Retrobix After Hours.
Oh, hello, and welcome to the lucky episode 13 and 100 of Rack Addicts After Hours. I'm Ben. Peter's here, and we've got a lot of news. Hooray! In contrast to last week, there's stuff to talk about, and it's almost... Well, no, I don't think it counts as a What Did Berenger Do Now episode, because I don't think they've really cloned much this release cycle. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We must begin, as always, with the weekly update. Pete, what have you been doing?
This week I've been back in the studio doing some more work on the 1010 Music Black Box in coordination with the Typhon. I'm still struggling to get those two modules to sync. And I think I'm going to have to revert to or look at using some sort of diagnostic, because I can't tell what information is flowing from where to where and what's whether it's been transmitted or whether it's been received. But as of now, I still can't get those two units to work in coordination, unfortunately.
Irritating indeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's that old frustration where you just want to get on and be creative, and or you're prevented to do so by horrible niggly technical issues that you can't get past.
Always the way.
Yes. Other than that, I just wanted to quickly mention something else. Now, we don't normally talk about anything political, anything religious, or anything sexual. That was the rules that we set out with this podcast right from the outset. We wanted to keep it as...
I think advertiser-friendly was the phrase we might have chucked around, but not because we cared about advertising, because we don't have adverts.
No, it's more we just don't want to offend anyone's sensibilities, possibly. And we just wanted to stick to that. But I think in this particular case, it just... warrants a quick mention. Now, it relates to the Endorphins Queen of Pentacles that I have returned.
The saga for of the repair, Queen of Pentacles, yeah.
And the new one that's heading towards me from Spain. Last week, I sent a quick little email just to give them a nudge and ask them what was happening with the unit, because a week before they'd issued me with a shipping number, but according to the tracking information, it hadn't actually been handed over to the shippers. So they were aware that the job had been created in respect to having the unit moved, but they hadn't received a parcel per se. So quickly sent them a polite email, and the response that I got back was totally understandable, and I did return a response to them that was suitable. So basically, this is from Ivan, who mans the support email address for Endorphins, and it goes on to say, "Dear Peter, sorry to hear this is still getting delayed. We will ask Correos what is the status of the shipment." Correos is the Spanish postal service,
I think so, yeah.
I believe.
I've had something through them before.
"Me and my colleagues are out of the office today because our family is in Ukraine, and it's still all a bit overwhelming, but we will give you an update on Monday morning if that is okay." So the point I wanted to make isn't anything to do with my Queen of Pentacles module that is coming back to me from Endorphins, but it's just a quick shout out to all the guys at Endorphins and anyone else who is affected by the Ukrainian situation. The whole world is thinking of you or about you, hoping that if you do have relatives or anyone close to you that's been affected by the Ukrainian situation, we Rack Addicts After Hours are certainly thinking of you.
Indeed. And if you do want to do something about it, remember, synthesizers don't matter at the moment. I'm sure in your particular country there'll be equivalent websites, but if you'd like to donate in support of Ukraine, you can easily go to the Red Cross. If you're in the UK, they've got a fundraising page. There's going to be plenty of them, but we should do what we can, if we can, and our thoughts are with the whole country and the whole world.
Exactly. Anyway, apart from that, not much else has happened in my week.
I think there is a transformation brewing in my corner of the Rack Addicts podcast weekly update. If you listened last time, I told you that I've got into film photography slightly. I've had a couple of roles back and it's been fun, but I'm already a bit of a coffee snob. and I've just started film photography, and I have been known to brew my own kombucha at home. I think I'm turning into a hipster, Pete.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. And another thing that's made it worse, I have arranged for this weekend to go to London for a filter coffee brewing workshop.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Will we be seeing a marvellously coiffured beard coming from your direction?
No, because I never survive the itchy phase, which is brewing at the moment, nor will I ever subject anybody to Ben with a moustache. So you're safe on that front, but in terms of interests and hobbies, I can't resist those hipstery things. Further into the hipstery world, not only have I booked this masterclass, but I emailed them to say, can I bring all my own equipment, please? Will that be annoying? Is it too extra? They said, no, do it. I don't think there's any safety for me. The hipster world has grabbed me. I can't stop.
You're being drawn in.
I've been drawn in. There's no way I can flee. Yeah, that's kind of it. That's all I've been doing. I'm 10 shots from the end of my first roll of colour, and that should be quicker and easier to turn around because I can pop to the photography shop in my hometown. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun.
Well, just a sort of side note on all that sort of hipstery talk.
Yep.
I actually, for the first time, went to the local Turkish barbers.
Oh,
and
yes.
Had them actually have a go at my beard, which I normally don't do. Go in for the haircut, but not the full bifter.
The full bifter. How was it?
It was extreme. It normally is with them anyway, because
Do they do the flaming rod thing?
They do the flames in the ears, but they also do the hot towels around the head and the massaging of the arms and shoulders. And they also, again, I'm a bit late to the party on this one. It's the first time I've had a person shave me with a cutthroat, which is an experience.
It is. It's kind of scary.
If you have an actual beard, all they're actually going to shave is your neck, which is obviously the
terrifying,
the most vulnerable part with that. So that was an interesting experience, something that I personally hadn't gone through before. But that was quite a session. The whole hair, beard,
fire. That was quite a shock when I first went to a Turkish barber, because they didn't. I had no warning. Suddenly he was lighting things on fire and swinging them at my head. It was, odd.
Yeah,
not unpleasant.
It sort of works. They kind of deal with the ear hair without singeing anything else, which is quite a skill.
Yes, an odd one. There probably isn't a, I don't want to say like female hairdresser, but there isn't a feminine equivalent that I know of. Or for long-haired pursuits, I've never seen anybody go near that kind of situation with flames. But there we are.
It is a bit of a male bastion, isn't it? That type of that type of hairdressing.
A good experience. Now, from the weekly update, we must journey into the world of the news, and not what has Behringer done now, because not clones. Some quite interesting stuff. Pete, do you want to jump in with probably the big one?
Yeah, so I don't know when the exact day of this announcement was, but it's only a day or so ago.
I only heard about it today, so
it might have been just this morning. No, I think it was slightly before that. It might have been Monday. Anyways, Behringer have announced I wouldn't say it's necessarily a replacement, it's a successor to the Neutron called the Proton. So there's obviously a theme going there.
Yeah.
So another one of these, what I'd describe as almost an original design modular, semi-modular synth unit in the same vein as the Neutron, but with more more functionality, more patching opportunities. The patch bays are larger. And I think that this will go quite well, because the Neutron was very well received and you had one yourself.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant little machine. Unreasonable amounts of low end on that one. It had a really juicy filter that worked nicely. I think it was great. I didn't keep it for that long. Can't remember why. Probably needed pizza or something at one point. But no, it was a cool machine. And this one has gone for the dual filter, which is quite cool, as well as sort of an expansion to the LFO world. There's a new one-shot mode on one of the two LFOs. See what else can we find.
Definitely looks like they've optimized the potentiometers and used the really small...
So you can actually get in there with your fingers.
Yes.
And turn them properly.
So that is a bit of a departure, because the previous one had the sort of big Moogie style
Yeah, not too many of them. I think on the sort of LFO wave selector and the tuning controls, they were chunky.
And you're saying on this one they've abandoned any effects?
Yeah, I mean, so we now have a total of 4 envelopes, 2 of them being ASR with function generatory style stuff and 2 ADSRs. One of the LFOs has a one-shot mode, so that there's a lot of modulation happening now. But yeah, no distortion, which I didn't use that much, I just kept it neutral. But the delay I thought was such a cool part of the original Neutron, because it was kind of noisy and weird. There was a lot of fun to be had there. But I suppose it's got to differentiate itself in another way. But yes, quite a powerhouse. We'll see what people do with it. I think, on balance, I think it looks a bit better than the garish red with the weird design, but it's not a million miles better, let's be honest. Ooh, we have a wave folder as well. That's pretty cool.
And it's blue this time round.
It is blue.
It's a shame they didn't do a black one, then I could put it into a sister.
Yeah, I think it'll be good value. Not a bad option.
Yeah, I have to say that all these sort of skiff-mounted Behringer units are generally quite a good purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that are direct sort of tributes, I suppose to say. You know, the Wasp, yeah, and the Cat and the...
With a lot of them, because there's very little or no digital stuff going on, they tend to be relatively solid compared to... some.
Yes.
We're not going to go there. Too many bad memories.
Yeah.
But no, this would be a really cool compliment. I mean, once my giant case appears, there'll be lots of space to fill, and these are cost-effective ways of making it look less empty.
Do you see yourself grabbing one of these?
It's a good question. I think, until I've heard one, potentially played with one, I would just go for the regular, the Neutron, because I do like the delay.
Doesn't say how many HP it is.
No, it looks to be the same as the other one, the Neutron, which I think, is it 96? No, it's not that big. Is it less than 84? What is it? Is it just 80? Let's find out.
What the Neutron is?
Mm.
Because they appear to have 2 sizes, don't they?
The
Wasp and the Cat are shorter.
Yeah, and the Model D, those are the short ones. And then the Neutron...
K2.
Yeah, and the Pro 1 might be the long ones.
I haven't seen a Pro 1 for the longest time.
No. 80 HP for the Neutron, and I think the Proton.
So that just gives you enough space to slip in a Zeus bus power
yeah,
into your skiff if you needed to. But these are obviously in these particular configuration, you don't need the power because it's already got a built-in power supply.
Yep, and then you can repurpose the case with the Zeus,
yes,
situation
of course,
later for a small portable system as a freebie-ish. Lovely stuff. So Proton, that's cool. I think it'll sound pretty great because I don't think they've changed the oscillators much, but you've got more flexibility for weirdness and general timbral interest.
Yes, I believe this is also using Curtiss 3340s as well.
Yeah, right. There are 2 small things that we can talk about when we're talking Behringer. Their cheapest synth yet, the JP4000. Have you seen this one?
I did briefly see a picture of it, and it was very small.
It looks very Sculpt-inspired, the modal Sculpt, which is okay, with that kind of touch plate keyboard and very small control surface thing, but this is a Roland JP8000-ish kind of emulation-y thing. So you've got 4 analog modeling digital voices and a single analog filter for paraphonic fun times. You've got presets by 32. They say authentic 12-bit DAC for a classic, in inverted commas, sound. There's an arpeggiator in there, 2 LFOs, and not too much in terms of knobs, so it'll be a bit press your button, hold your button, twiddle the thing, a few shortcuts in there. But assuming it functions, it might be okay, but it's $49, which just makes me highly suspicious. And that it might fall... It's even got a screen. It might fall apart as soon as you sneeze at it.
So it's just going to be a microprocessor and something to store the code on it.
And a small section for, supposedly, the analog filter.
So it's a real analog filter in there?
Apparently. Yeah, that's kind of it.
So is it a tribute to the Sculpt? I want to say that in the correct...
Well, they're kind of creeping into that corner. The next one that I'll show you is sort of Sculpt, sort of Korg Volca. In shape and scope, if you see what I mean.
Oh, yes.
That one.
And the wipe clean keyboard as well.
Exactly. I think they've got that on the... Actually, no. I think on the little one, the JP4000, it's just like etched PCB type things, kind of like...
sort of capacitive touch.
Yeah, sort of like a really cheap do-it-yourself stylophone type thing on etching your own PCB stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, Wipe Clean, that's the stuff on this one. This is the Pro VS Soul, inspired by the Sequential Prophet VS. Not a direct clone at all, but quite obviously that. It is a digital vectory styly thing, but this one is a four-voice hybrid synth, so this one does have four separate analog filters in it, four voices, and it's $99, and a lot more hands-on control. And on the keys, this is quite similar to the Vulkas. You've got a lot of the functions on the keys, lots of text there, and there's lights in them. That's a very sculpt-looking situation, that keyboard, and then functions like the Vulkas. It could be okay.
Do we have a price?
$99.
Oh, you can't really go wrong with that, can you?
Assuming it stays functioning. It has, what's quite cool is it's got the joystick, which is a mainstay of the vector synthesis world. It just looks like a sort of an Xbox or any other console analog stick, which, given the size, you could kind of hold it like a controller if you really wanted to get some action on that joystick for some reason.
But that one is all digital then?
Again, it's hybrid, so there's supposedly four analog filters in there, one per voice.
Hmm. Behringer and digital. We'll see. We will see. Solid as a rock, or we'll just be seeing lots of returns.
Yep, only time will tell. But I think they're cool little ideas, and it's always good to have more affordable multi-note synths, polysynths around.
I'm not actually very much of a fan of the sculpt anyway.
I think it's fine, but it's not very playable, especially the old one. You know, when it had all of the legend for the controls was on a slant, so you wanted to change something, you had to keep angling your head, and you looked like...
Yeah, it was all sort of written at funny angles,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, they changed it later, but it was really annoying.
And I have to admit, I'm not over excited about the Vulkas either.
I like those a little bit more. Things like the Vulka bass do sound really good, but they only have one sound. I think the Vulka FM is really cool, given that it's just a very small slice of a DX7 for no money and uses the presets if you want. I think that is really cool. Vulka Modular is also interesting.
But they just want you to buy all of them. That's the whole point, isn't it? Just collect them all.
Yeah. So, Behringer doing some potentially cool stuff. We'll see how they go. I do actually want to try these out a little bit. Maybe I'll actually go back into the shop to try synths and be an actual customer again.
Even today, I feel strange going into the shop unless I'm working there.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being naughty or something and I shouldn't be there.
Yeah,
and I also have
odd.
The strange compulsion to answer the phone when it rings, even though I'm shopping.
I think if I went any further than the front counter, especially at the back in the keys area, I'd just have the urge to look something up on the stock system.
Yeah, just go on to...
Then the nobody that knows me will be, hey, get off the...
Yeah.
Oh, it's sorry, old habits.
Yeah.
Anyway, another cool thing from a cool company, although we did just kind of poke some fun at them. Modal, we do like Modal. British Electronics, lovely stuff. The Cobalt has got an extra sibling.
Model,
sibling thing. The Cobalt 5S, the 5 means 5 voices, and it's resizing... As far as I know, it's full Cobalt stuff, just 5 voices instead. But I haven't looked at the numbers, but dimensionally, from seeing it in videos, I would say about the same size as the module, but flat on the desk. And it has a mini keys keyboard on it and an XY pad, which is kind of cool. And was it £379, I think, pounds from a British retailer? Which is pretty cool, because I do like the Cobalt. I can't remember what your opinions are on both the Argon and Cobalt.
I think we like the Cobalt better than the Argon. Mm,
yes.
It seems to be a week of my pet hates coming up, because I really detest mini keys.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not a fan, and we'll have to see, because there's mini keys, which aren't great, and then there's the ones that they have on the MicroKorg XL, which are just the worst things in the known universe. So we'll see what they've gone for.
I always state that I'd rather have a desktop module than something with mini keys, but with this, there's already a desktop module.
Yeah, I was thinking of this, because given the size, wouldn't you just go for the module? But you would save yourself a smidge over 200 squiddly. keys if you chop off three voices and you want a keyboard. So it's, I think it's an interesting trade-off that might work for some people.
So they've got four models now. So they've got the original, they've got the desktop, and then they've got their larger one with the bigger keys, and now they've got this one. The point is we don't really sell a lot of them at all anyway. So bringing another model out.
Yeah. I don't think, given the new form factor and shape and stuff, I don't think it's suddenly going to leap off like hotcakes.
It does seem a lot of manufacturers tend to do this. They bring out a sort of plethora of different sort of footprint sizes.
I think it is sitting in a good space, though, because it's cheaper than a Minilog XD with one more voice, and it's stereo and it's more portable. I think it's a better alternative to that than the medium model is.
I can see that, and I can see that it is setting itself up as a competition to the Minilog or the Minilog XD. Possibly, but again,
kind of aiming at the Micro Freak, maybe a smidge as well.
Yeah, the Micro Freak is a bit more
different kind of corner.
Different capacitive touch keyboards. The mic that you can
vocoding stuff, vocode, yeah,
and so forth.
I think it's interesting.
I'm just ambivalent again with this one.
You saw the mini keys and just looked the other way. You didn't care.
Yeah, as soon as there's mini keys, there's no muscle memory. You put your hand down and you're covering two octaves.
That's kind of true. But I like it. It has MPE as well.
But I do talk to a lot of customers that have real space issues, and they're always looking for the maximum sort of performance in a minimal footprint.
Definitely. So it's an option if you've heard the Cobalt already in one of its forms. You may or may not already know if you like it. Moving on to the smaller and weirder things, which I think are actually exciting me a bit more. One, this isn't that exciting. I think it's just really cool. Have you heard of Jolin Labs or Jolin Labs or Jolin Labs?
I can't recall. It's not coming to mind, let's say.
This one is pretty cool. It's just a Eurorack cable tester, but not just patch cables, which it does in mono and stereo 3.5mm formats, but it also tests 5 different forms of ribbon cable as well. Little kit there.
Okay.
Some surface mount LEDs on the front will do your usual continuity kind of testing stuff. That's pretty cool. Handy little thing for the hardened DIYer, just in case.
Do you have to build it?
Probably.
Do you have a number for it?
€69 for the kit.
Okay.
And if I'm looking at it, I think all the SMDs pre-soldered, so you just do the jacks and those strips of 2x however many thingies.
I have to say, I don't generally get a lot of problems with Eurorack cables. I think it'd be...
No, I haven't.
And if you've got a meter to hand, you can just...
Since it's only 2 or 3 conductors, it's not hard to just do it with your hands.
Yeah.
It's still cool, though. Maybe for peace of mind, if you've got some weird power issue and you're going, is it the ribbon cable? But I think it's nice. It's called Nexum, if you want to have a look, on the Jolin Labs or Jolin Labs or who knows Labs website, jolin.tech. Now, here's a little doodad from... I'm going to look at the characters, either China or Japan. I have no idea, and I've suddenly stopped caring. It is a little doodad from somewhere, most likely somewhere in the world. It's called the Murobox, which is a MIDI-controllable mechanical music box. So you know those little wind-up things that do the little plinky-plonky things, which are kind of a little bit of a favourite of horror soundtracks, as well as, you know, the toy piano sometimes. But you can just USB MIDI into it, and there's quite a delay given how it has to work mechanically, but it plays, I think, is it 2 octaves or an octave and a bit? It's kind of cool.
Be good if you were doing some sort of film score. That'd be kind of...
Definitely, although I'm sure there are samples that you could do a lot quicker.
I could imagine, but it would be quite novel to send it some MIDI.
It is quite a lovely looking thing, though. It's got a wooden base and a little plastic or glass kind of dome over the top, so you can see it doing its thing. I haven't got the sound on my laptop, but that's the doodad there.
Doesn't look very cheap, I can imagine.
No. Would you like to place your bets, Pete?
I'm just going to go £200.
I've got it in dollars. So do you want to?
$250.
No. Up.
$400.
$375.
I overshot.
Yeah. I really like it. I think it looks great. But yeah, that's
$300 worth, is it?
No. It's a cool thing, though. The Murobox by Teviofi Technology. Anyway, it's a cool little doodad.
Sounds Japanese to me. I don't know why I'm just...
Potentially. The sort of the symbols on the video are, there's some Chinese ones, but it could still be Japanese. Let's have a look. I have no idea. Oh well. But there is something slightly more exciting to me, because I've purchased one, or I've pre-ordered one anyway. My first purchase from Schneidersladen. You've bought from there, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. I've I got a couple of confirmation emails, but they were in German and I haven't translated them yet. But I'm sure they were good. They had good German words in them. Like, what were the good words? Vielen Dank means many thanks. Mit freundlichen Grüßen. With friendly somethings, I'm sure. Your team from Schneidersland, Berlin. Anyway, do you know, I'm not going to pronounce the name right, it's a Chinese manufacturer of strange modular sometimes, non-modular other times, musical equipment called either Meng Qi or Men Qi or Mong Qi or something along those lines.
No, I don't.
No, okay, cool. There was a fantabulous demo from Akira of the Wing Pinger last ModCaf, which might be on SoundCloud one day. I have no idea. But there was a sort of companion, slightly similar device called Wingy, which is a handheld resonating thing. So the old version was just a PCB with stuff on it. It had stereo microphones, USB, three dials, and two chromatic keyboards in a one octave format, one above the other. And there's some quite good video demos of somebody just having it on the windowsill of their house while the rain is hammering on the windows, and the microphones feed in and you can choose chords and it will resonate the digital modeled resonating things on the inside and make some really cool, lovely sounds. But there is a new version, the Mark II, which looks very much more like an actual device with an aluminium enclosure, much nicer buttons, faders instead of teeny tiny potentiometers. And I ordered one, pre-ordered one. I'm quite excited.
When do you hope to see it?
I have no idea because, yeah, nobody does.
No, it's about a week from Germany.
Mm. I don't know that they've got stock yet.
Oh, so is it a pre-order then?
Pre-order indeed.
So it could be ridiculously long time.
It could be ages. I've no idea. My hope is that it arrives before the Q121 project, because then I might have some stuff to try. We shall see. We shall see. I would urge our listeners to go find demos of the first version, because I don't think the software is too different. They get lots of updates, but obviously the hardware is a lot more pro-looking. I know these things, much like the Plinky, will be sought after by a small corner of the weird electronic music world, and the supply probably won't meet the demand, so I don't have too many worries about selling it if I need to. So I don't feel too bad that I did just kind of impulse order this one. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And I'll let you know when it turns up. But Meng Qi, I have no idea. That's spelt M-E-N-G space Q-I. And it's called Wingy. This is Mark II, Wingie. Go and have a look on the YouTubes because it's great. Can sound pretty, what's the phrase, the word? Dissonant, clangorous, but also very pretty as well. So we'll see how it goes. That's it. That's the news. We had synth news. How do you feel now that we've done some synth news again for the first time in what feels like quite a while to me?
Well, it was only last week that was newsless. We had something the week before.
Did we? Yeah. It feels like that was a lot.
Yeah. Managed to wing it for a week without any proper synth news, but we did it.
And stuff's coming back. The next thing we'll have to wait and see is when will we actually see these synths in physicality?
Yeah, that's always the rub, isn't it?
Always.
You get the sort of heads up from the manufacturer and then you have this inordinate wait. Still waiting for the Expressive E.
Oh, the Osmos.
Yes.
Oh, I really want to play with one.
I think, what were you, 2.5 years now?
Something like that. Is there even a listing on the website?
Or wasn't it supposed to be due the end of last year?
Mm-mm-mm. The last I kind of, we've heard of that, heard about it, was possibly September 2021 at Superbooth. That's the last we heard of it. I don't think we had a date, but it was announced in 2019.
Yeah.
That long ago. I noticed Gear for Music has it on the website at £10,000. The classic, we don't have it. It's not going to know. Eventually, what a cool looking thing. I really want to play it, even though I won't be able to make anything cool.
I just want to experience it.
You were going to say fondle it, weren't you?
Yeah.
Want to get in there and squish its buttons.
Yep.
Oh my. I want to hear or try and convince Nick Cohen to play one. I think he'd be able to do some pretty cool stuff on it. Anyway, once the news is done, we must embark upon the quadruple M That doesn't work, does it? The miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. And for once, I'm ready to go already. As I mentioned earlier, I am slowly transforming into a shameless hipster, and there's nothing I can do to stop it. So, I also can't stop myself going on YouTube, despite trying to escape and rid myself of the addiction. But I've relapsed, and I've been watching a YouTube channel called Grainy Days, which you might be able to tell is about film photography. I don't know that I've learnt too much or I'm necessarily there for technical advice or anything. The host is quite enigmatic. No, that's not the word either. Okay, so delivered in quite a monotonous, deadpan, full of depression jokes type way, which resonates with me quite well. Let me think of an example. No, I won't, because I can't. Just go and find the guy. I think he's called Jason, Grainy Days, and he'll do things like, I took out a super expired scientific Kodak film stock and decided to see what happens. Or I'll do road trips, doing some night photography, review different films, different cameras, all in quite a sarcastic, deadpan manner. And it's great, and I'm addicted. Grainy Days on YouTube. What have you got, Pete?
This is sort of a YouTube recommendation, but it's not. It's really just a track.
Mm.
So for whatever reason, I've had a bit of an earworm experience.
Oh, yeah.
And this might be old hat. So for some reason, just this week, I have been obsessed with Black Sheep by Metric, but with the Brie Larson vocals on it from the film Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I've only seen half of it, the film, that is.
I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, right, okay.
I know we've got a DVD here of it. Mm. My kids were certainly into it
I think
when
as
it came out.
We're doing a disservice to ourselves as nerds and as music nerds.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Oh, well.
But, and I wasn't really aware of it, but this track popped up, and for whatever reason, I don't normally sort of listen to these things generally, and I listened to it, and I've got sort of slightly obsessed with the track for some reason.
Can't get it out
but
of your brain.
It has to be the Brie Larson vocals rather than the actual original singer from Metric singing it. And it particularly the video that goes with it, which is a sort of edit from the Scott Pilgrim film. So that is my recommendation for this week. The track Black Sheep by Metric, but with the Brie Larson vocals on it from the film Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Lovely stuff. As always, listeners, thank you for tuning in. And our thoughts do remain with Ukraine, and we hope for a good development in the news, please, soon. Anyway, stay safe, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Farewell.